Good morning. It's good to see such a full house this morning. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we're always like this and overflowing? I didn't hear an amen to that. Thank you. Sumac Kidd wrote this: stories have to be told or they die. And when they die, we can't remember who we are or why we're here. That's true, isn't it? We have a tendency to get lost if we don't know who we are and why we're here based upon stories that have to do with our lives. We parents need to tell our children our stories about growing up. We need to tell them the good things, and we need to tell them the bad things. The things that happen good and bad within our families, and the things that happen good and bad within our world as we were growing up and as we grew into adulthood. We need to tell our children these stories because as we do, it helps them to better understand and appreciate us, and it also helps them to better understand and appreciate their world and life as a whole. You know, my parents didn't tell me a lot about growing up until they were older and I was into mid-adulthood. But one of the things that has really struck me is that my grandparents, at least most of them, three of them, were born within 10 years after the end of the Civil War. Their parents had been in and had experienced the Civil War. My mother's parents were married in the early to mid-1890s. Their first house was a log cabin with a dirt floor. My mother, being born in 1914, the year at the beginning of the First World War, and she talks about going to church in a wagon pulled by horses. My dad growing up on an apple farm in Illinois, and about what that life was like, about growing up through the Depression years and World War II. Those somehow became things not just in black and white on a page in a history book, they became real life. And I started learning about their values and about the good and the bad in their lives and in the world of that time. Things that I could not really appreciate just from reading a history book. Talking about life right after World War II and how challenging it was to find housing, things that most of us don't think about today. Those are rich things that help us have a better appreciation about our families and about our world. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 9, God had Moses tell ancient Israel this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." What Moses is telling God's people to do here by command of God is to tell them about God. Tell them about God's will. Tell them about what God has done in your life. Tell them about the fact that you are God's covenant people. Tell them why. Tell them what God has commanded you to do to remember him and to be identified as one of his children. Tell them the story. Tell them all the stories of everything that happened from Egypt right on through this time into the Promised Land. Tell them these stories so that they understand the nature and the love and the power and the wisdom of God. Less than 100 years later, Judges chapter 2, verse 7 and then verses 10 through 13 says this: "The people," speaking of Israel, "served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served the Baal and the Ashtoreths. The parents, the grandparents, failed to tell the stories about God's care, about God's leadership, about God's provision, about God's discipline, about God's will, about God's wisdom, about God's ways, about God's character. They knew nothing about God because the failure to tell the stories. We Christian parents must tell our children our spiritual stories. We must tell them our stories about our relationship to God, about his will, and about his promises for faithfulness to him. We must tell our children why we love and obey God. And we must tell our children how he's working in our lives. And that means we must recognize and praise God for working in our lives. Amen? We must be people who are thoughtful, who don't get caught up in all the busyness of this world and all of the stuff that is about us and about our will and about our pursuits, and that we must realize that this world is not about us. It's about God. And so we must be people who are paying attention to what God does on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, that God is running this world, that God is providing for this world. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that God provides for the evil as well as the good, that his sun rises on both. God is the God of the whole world. He's doing great things despite the world. He's doing great things because he is God, and that's his choice to do. That's his plan to do. If we do not tell our children the story of God and of God's will, of God's faithfulness to us, of God's wisdom, of God's power, of God's plans, of the future promises that God has for us, our children will not know. And like the ancient Israelites, who just within a generation did not know, they will not follow the Lord. Right now, Jim's going to lead us in song number 628. Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." This man simply told his story. That's all he did. He told his story. His questioners learned about his life before he was healed. They learned how this man had submitted to Jesus and Jesus' power. They learned what Jesus had done. And they saw the difference in him because of what Jesus had done. And that was the man's story. He did not know the answers to all of the questions that they asked him. He did know what happened to him. And what happened to him was his story. He knew his story. Knowing our story is often the very best place to begin to share our faith with a non-believer in Christ. It's not threatening for us, and it's not threatening for our friends. It's just our story. This is where my life was. This is what I did, and this is why. And this is why where my life is now because of that. We need to remember our life before becoming a Christian. That needs to be clear to us. Not just clear to us in terms of, well, I just kind of lived, but clear to us in terms of, why did I become a Christian? I was a sinner before I became a Christian. My life was not in Christ before I became a Christian. My life was in opposition to Christ. My life was my life, thank you, and you leave me alone. My life was a life I ran. But when I decided to yield my life to Christ, I joined Christ. I was baptized into Christ. I am now part of Christ. I have a different life because of Christ. And here's what it looks like. We need to remember why we submitted and were baptized into Christ then. We need to evaluate our spiritual growth as well as God's blessings in our lives since we became a Christian. When we remember those things, identify those things, and have them clearly within our minds, then we have a story to tell. And it's a spiritual story. It coincides with the stories we find in Scripture. I've asked Thomas Nouse to take a moment to tell us his story. And after that, Jim's going to lead us in another song.
My story is not one of a great epiphany. It sometimes feels more like a grind. Before I was baptized, I didn't really have much direction other than I was brought to church and told to go to church and told to memorize Bible verses and, ooh, look, candy. Living without God was something that was just not really a part of my life. It was always a part of my life. I can't really think of a time when I didn't. God's always been around me. But that doesn't mean that I was around him. I spent a long time trying to be perfect, trying to find what it was that I needed to have before I could accept Christ, that I could claim Christ. And it wasn't until John Adams, who was a young adult minister here, found out that I wasn't baptized yet, and he was frankly shocked. And I was like, well, no, I feel like I have things to work on. I always felt like I had something I needed to better. And it wasn't until he just straight up told me, there's no perfection for you to reach. You don't need to understand everything about the Bible. If that were the case, none of us would be baptized. We would still be seeking. We would still be trying to make ourselves 100% Christ, which, can we? Should write it down. Quiet you. After I was baptized, I still couldn't quite claim my own faith. I would say it wasn't until I studied a philosopher who hated Christianity that I could really understand, like, this is mine, this is me. I don't need to overcome mankind. I need to overcome myself. I need to pick up my cross to follow Christ. And at that point, I realized that's what I've done. That's what I've decided to do. So what do I do now? How is my life different? I try to be positive all the time, so that way if someone asks me, how are you always so happy? I can say, if I have the courage, I have something to be smiled about. I have Christ. There's so much in this world that can just drag you down. Why let it get to you? I can be apathetic about so many things because what does it matter? Christ died to save us. That's what's important. And that's the one job I have while I'm here, is to spread his love. And so that's how I try to live now. I spread Christ's love whenever, wherever I can.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It's more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all my golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it is so much for me. It's just the reason each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it better, seem hungry and thirsty hear it like the rest, and when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell story. will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
In Acts chapter 26 and verses 2 through 23, Jesus' follower Paul told his story, and he told it to a king. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews know all the ways I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that according to the strictest set of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell on the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul told the king about his life before becoming a Christian. He told about why he had become a Christian. He talked about the change in his life, how God had worked in his life since he had become a Christian. This was Paul's story. No one else could tell his story. It was his story. Just like you and I each have our own story. Our stories may be dramatic or they may be mundane. It really doesn't matter. We have a story to tell about why we became a Christian, about what God has done in us. And right now, Jake Oliver is going to tell us his story.
So, Dave has graciously given me 3 minutes to tell a story, and more specifically my story, tell what my life was like before I was baptized, why I was baptized, and how it has affected my life since then. Before, I grew up in church, as most of you here know, this church. I grew up here. I grew up with pretty strong Christian beliefs, morals, values, and I was a rule follower as a kid. I think you can ask my parents. I don't think I really went through a huge rebellious stage, and I thought that was pretty normal, actually, up until halfway through middle school, I saw that that wasn't always the way that it was. Looking back now, I was an oddball. It was weird that I followed the rules the way that I did. But I did see other paths, kind of my mid-early teens, I saw that there was other paths that I could take, paths that I saw kids my age hopping on all the time. And I think it was at Yosemite Bible Camp in 2011 where I hit that fork in the road, where I had to make a decision one way or another. I had the narrow path and the wide path in front of me, and I had to decide. During that week, luckily, my decision was made a little bit easier through a series of lessons and personal conversations and events that took place that week. It showed me that my life was really worth nothing unless I was doing what I could to serve others and be more like Christ every day. Due to that series of fortunate events, I was baptized that week. My transformation from pre to post baptism was not a dramatic one, but the alternative, if I had chosen the other path that week, would have drastically changed my life. I would be lying if I said it was all downhill from that day. I'd be lying if I said I've lived a perfect life since then. But what I gained after that day was this. I gained this support group that I have in front of me. I gained sinners not so anonymous. People that help me up when I fall down. People that celebrate with me when I am successful in something. One of those things happens more often than the other. People I can count on. More people that I know, more than I could count. And I meet more every day. I was given a goal and a purpose in life, something to shoot for. The decision I made that day has put me where I am today, and I can't complain. My story is a pretty simple one. It's uneventful, unexciting. It would make a terrible movie, but it is mine, and it's not over yet. Thank you, guys.
Luke 8 tells of Jesus healing a man who was possessed by many demons. His life was totally changed for the better when Jesus was involved in this man's life, when this man submitted his life to Jesus and to Jesus' power in his life. When Jesus was about to leave that area where this man lived, verses 38 and 39 of Luke 8 tells us this. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine having 1,000 demons in you? One thing, we can't even imagine what a demon is, can we? All we can understand is that it is the work of Satan within us in some fashion. But to imagine having 1,000 within us, working against us, crazing us like this man had been, is unimaginable. And then to suddenly, just like that, to have them totally removed and to be at peace with God. What a blessing. What a change. This man's story, as he went about telling other people, was neither superficial nor simplistic. It was powerful, almost unbelievable. But because this man had submitted himself to God through Jesus, his life was dramatically changed for the better. His story was substantial. His life before Christ was filled with pain because of the person that he was. But when he submitted himself to Jesus, he and his life were changed dramatically. Every Christian has a story to tell. And as I said moments ago, it does not have to be dramatic. It may be, as these guys have said, very mundane, very uneventful, but very powerful in our lives personally, because we have had an encounter with Christ where we saw what Jake talked about, that fork in the road, a choice to make, either to live for ourselves and take all the consequences that go with that, or to turn and submit ourselves to Christ and all of the consequences that go with that. Every one of us has a life before Christ. Every one of us has had a reason for yielding our lives to Christ. And every one of us has had experience with God working in our lives since we made the choice to serve Christ. So consider your story. Keep it short and pointed. Then tell your story wherever you have opportunity. Tell your story. Pray for, seek for, look for opportunities to tell your story. Don't worry about it being perfect, and don't worry about it being dramatic. God will bless your efforts. If you're not a Christian, have you heard the most important story ever? Have you heard the story about Christ? About God's love in Christ? It's called the gospel or the good news. It's the story of how God has shown the greatest love that could ever be shown to humanity. It's a story that we would love to tell you if you're not aware of it or not familiar with it. So if we can help you, please come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.